ended up, the whole chapter, it's a very nice chapter, like many chapters from the Bhagavatam. At the beginning of the chapter, it's the cowherd boys going into the forest. And there's a whole series of verses, 6-7 verses, just describing what they would do. And it's just various forms of playful activity like little boys might do. But they were very creative little boys. And they were enjoying pastimes together, so much so that Sukadev Goswami narrating this, he just becomes ecstatic. And he loses track of the pastime and just speaks about how fortunate they are. There's a verse that you maybe haven't heard yet, but maybe you have. Krita Punya Punja. Punya, you know what punya means, right? Punya means piety. Krita means to do something. Krita Punya Punja. The Sukadeva Goswami says, who can say what pious activities these boys have done in their previous lives to be able to play with the personality of Godhead? He says, it's a celebrated verse in the whole of the 10th canto. It's a especially important verse because it's describing all the residents of Vrindavan. But he's just been discussing the cowherd boys, and so they're the topic at the moment, but he expands it. So there's materialists, there's jnanis, there's yogis, and there's devotees, and then there's the residents of Vrindavan. They're in their own category. They're like really special. So the jnanis, when they have some connection with Krishna, it's the happiness of Brahman, Brahma-sukh, sukh, happiness, Brahma-sukh. The yogis, after many, many lifetimes of samadhi, absorption in the personality of Godhead, Shukadev says, they cannot even see, what to speak of, touch a particle of the dust from the feet of Krishna, who the cowherd boys are playing with all the time. And the devotees, dasya bhaktas, devotees, nice devotees, they see him as Bhagavan, the supreme, worshipable, and the cowherd boys are just playing with him, and all the residents of Vrindavan, they're intimately associating with him all the time. How fortunate are the residents of Vrindavan. And then the section changes after that narration. Wherever you want to be is fine with me. Okay, you're fine. So, Agasura shows up. And listen to this. Krishna called, he arranged through his yoga maya potency for Agasura to come and do what he did. Why? Because Krishna wanted to give him liberation. That's why. So he did some bad stuff, but Krishna wanted to give him liberation. So he got liberation. And you know what kind of liberation he got? He got liberation. Well, we hear it's two things. The soul of Agasura emerged into the body of Krishna. Because when the cowherd boys walked in to the mouth of Agasura, he didn't close his mouth. And the cows, they were calves actually, little boys, little calves, they were raising their tails and dancing into the big mouth of this 8 mile long snake, but he didn't close his mouth because he wanted to kill Krishna. And Krishna, who's omniscient, became bewildered. Huh? How can somebody like Krishna, who's omniscient, become bewildered? Like, what to do? And another amazing thing. Krishna, who has, he doesn't have to do anything. He just desires. It's called Satya, Sankalpa, Shakti. You know what Satya means, right? Satya means truth, truth. And Shakti means power, potency. Shakti of Sankalpa. Sankalpa means you intend something. Like your mother goes to the kitchen and she's her Sankalpa is, I want to make a nice meal for the deities and serve to my family. That's her Sankalpa, that's her intention. Or where you're sitting down before singing, you'd like Krishna to be pleased by the melodious calling of his name with nice music, musical accompaniment. That's Sankalpa, it's an intention. So Krishna's potency is such that he just intends something, and presto, voila, that's a French word. Bhavati is the Sanskrit word. It just happens. Presto is Italian. Presto, just wow. He doesn't have to do anything. He could have lifted Govardhan Hill even without raising the little finger of his left hand. He just has to have desire it. Go ahead, Govardhan. Get up. And that's it. He didn't even have to say it. He just has to desire it. That's how powerful is Krishna. But when the cowherd boys were starting to march into dancing, raising their hands, clapping, no problem, because even if there's a problem, Krishna will take care of this guy. He's done it so many times. So, no worries in Krishna Loka. They just, so, but Krishna didn't want them to go, and his concern is, they can't stand being separated from me even for a moment. So what happens when they go inside this big serpent? They won't be able to see me. They fainted out of separation from Krishna. So Krishna was bewildered for a moment. That was his Yogamaya potency, the same Yogamaya potency that brought Agasura there. But then the Yogamaya potency receded, it was withdrawn. Krishna knew exactly what to do. What did he do? What did Krishna do? Yeah, and then what happened? No, Krishna got really big. Before Agasura closed his mouth, Krishna got really big, because that's one of his mystic powers, right? He can become bigger than the biggest and smaller than the smallest. Those are two of his mystic powers. So he just became really big. So Agasura started expanding his body because he's a python. He can swallow big things. But not as big as Krishna, because he can become bigger than the biggest. And it says that Agasura suffocated. He couldn't breathe. His life air couldn't go anywhere. His eyes popped out of his body. And then the soul couldn't go anywhere, so it passed through the soft spot in the top of his head. You know about the soft spot in the top of your head? You know about it? It's called Brahmarandra. When a child is still a little baby, they have a, it's really soft. But we still have it. It's a place at the top of the head, and it's where yogis have their soul when they want to go to the heavenly planets. That's where it goes. That out of that opening. But he couldn't go anywhere. So his life air went out of his body, and the soul. It's really nice. Has anybody seen a soul? The answer is no. Why? It's too small. But Krishna arranged for that soul to be seen because it became, he used his potency to make it luminous, brilliant like a sun, although it's just a tiny, tiny, tiny entity. And it just hovered there in the sky, waiting for Krishna to come out of the mouth of Agasura. When Krishna came out, the soul of Agasura merged with the body of Krishna. That's called Sayuja Mukti. But the soul of Agasura didn't stay there. The soul of Agasura ascended to Vaikuntha. That was the kind of liberation that Krishna wanted to give to Agasura. That's really special. I mean, to go to Vaikuntha with a form, it's called Sa-Rupya. Rupa means form, right? Rupa? Rupa means form. Sa-Rupa is a kind of liberation where one gets a form like Narayan in Vaikuntha. So I'm just going to read what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. After everyone saw that happen, there was a big festival. The big festival went not just on this planet and the planet of the demigods, because there's a structure of the universe. There's where we are, the earthly realm. There's seven lower planets, regions, and there's ones above us. So 7 plus 7 is how many? 7 plus 7 is 14, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're number 8, and there's 6 planetary systems above us. That's what the Vedas teach us. So that there's the 3, and then there's 4. So Bhu Loka, that's us. Bhu means earth. Bhu Loka, Bhuvar Loka, and Swarga Loka. Swarga means heaven, right? You've heard that before, right? Swarga means heaven. So the demigods, they're from the heavenly region, and they were celebrating Jai Jai and playing musical instruments, and the Gandharvas were singing, and the Apsaras were dancing. It was a big festival. And it got so loud. Then the upper planetary systems above heavenly, Janaloka, Maharloka, Tapaloka, they started having a big festival. Yay, Agasura is dead. Krishna's giving liberation. It became so loud. And the topmost planetary system in this universe is Brahmaloka. Right? Lord Brahma's planet. He heard. He wanted to come check it out. So he came down to see what's this, all this noise. And he saw. So here's what he saw. Even in the higher planetary systems, like Janaloka, Maharloka, and Tapaloka, the festival of glorification of Krishna was going on. Brahma heard the singing. While the light of Agasura's soul was passing to Vaikuntha, Brahma, being astonished at Krishna's glories, came invisibly to Vrindavan. Brahma came to check it out. It was a big festival. So we were having some discussions about those demons that are killed by Krishna, what's their destination? So I'm going to read something that explains it. But there's two main destinations. The merging, that's the Sayuja it's called, and then some attained by Kunta. And to attain the same planet as the Lord is called Sa-Lokya, Loka means planet, and Sa-Rupya, same form like the Lord. So those are two kinds of liberations. Salokya, Sarupya, and Sayuja, that's 3. Okay. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, there's a verse that answers this question, where do the souls killed by Krishna go? So, you've started the first part of Canto 1, right? Did you get as far as Chapter 3? Yes? In Chapter 3, it's a whole description of incarnations, right? So there's a repeat of that in Canto 2, in Chapter 7. Canto 2, Chapter 7 is a list of incarnations, a short list. But when it cuts to Krishna, there's a little bit more explanation given. And here's the commentary, the Prabhupada's purport. 2, 7, 34, 35, you can look it up later if you wish. All demoniac personalities like Pralamba, Denuka, Bakka, Keshi, Arishta, Chanura Mushtika, those were the two wrestlers, right? Kuvalyapida, the elephant, Kamsa, Yavana, Narakasara, and Pondraka, great marshals, like kings, like Shalva, Dvidvida monkey, and Valvala, Dantavakra, the seven bulls, Shambara, Vidurata, and Rukmi, as also great warriors like Kama, Bhoja, Matsya, Kuru, Srinjaya, and Kekaya would all fight vigorously, either with the Lord Hari directly or with him under the names of Baladeva, Arjun, Bhima, etc. And the demons thus being killed would either attain the impersonal Brahma Jyoti or his personal abode in the Vaikuntha planets. So Rishta went to Vaikuntha. And these verses have a commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that reads, some of those demons will attain Sayuja, means merging, entering into the Brahma Jyoti, and some will attain Vaikuntha. Kara refers to Denuka. Do you know a little bit about Ramayana? Yeah? The when Ram was in the Dandak forest and Shuparnaka's nose was cut and her ears were cut and she went to her two brothers, what were their names? Kara and Dushan. It's not a nice name to name your son, but Kara means donkey. Or, you know, ass is another English word for donkey. You know, the one that carries a load of something on the back of the donkey. So, the Denuka was a donkey. That's one of the demons that was killed. Who killed? Balaram, right? Denuka? Denuka? He whirled them around and threw in the top of the trees. Let me just go back to the commentary. Dar Dura refers to Bakka, the duck demon, or crane, sometimes it's translated. And then there's Kuvalyapida. Kuja refers to Narakasura. Kapi means Dvidvida. Samiti Shalina means those who shine in battle, the kings who fought. Krishna was on the battlefield, so it may have been Arjuna that killed them or Bhima that killed them. But because Krishna was present, they achieved liberation. Pralamba, Denuka, Dvidvida, Balvala, and Rukmi were killed by Balaram. So there's a list of five. Pralamba, Denuka, those we know. Dvidvida, the gorilla. You know that one, right? Balvala and Rukmi. Rukmi was the brother of Rukmini. And he was making fun of Balaram during a chess match. That was a big mistake. So they were killed by Balaram. Bhima and Arjuna killed the Kambojas and others during the Kurukshetra battle. Pradumna, Krishna's son with his first wife, Rukmini, the son's name was Pradumna. Pradumna, son of Krishna and Rukmini. So Pradumna killed Shambara. Muchukunda, Muchukunda in the cave, and Krishna was being chased by, who was it? Kaliyavana. And when Kaliyavana went in the cave and he saw somebody asleep, he thought, oh, Krishna fell asleep. And he kicked him. And Muchukunda was the one that was sleeping. And Muchukunda woke up and from his eyes came fire, and Kaliyavana was a pile of ashes. So Muchukunda killed Yavana. The Lord did not kill them. Thus, their names are also mentioned in this phrase, Bala, Partha, Bhima, Vyaja, Vyayena. They will attain liberation by the Lord, who is also called Balaram, Arjuna, and Bhima. Subdued by him, the seven bulls, even bulls, attained liberation at another time, since they were animals. Among the demons, Pralamba, Denuka, and others will get Sayuja, merging, Pralamba, Denuka, and others will get merging with Brahman, Pondraka, Dantavakra, and others will get Vaikuntha. This will be understood by later statements. And this, sometimes it's asked, what was the destination of Hiranyakashipu when he was killed? Hiranyakashipu was killed by the Sringadeva. So here's Lagu Bhagavatamrita. Lagu Bhagavatamrita is a book written by Rupa Goswami. Lagu means light. Brihat means heavy. So Sanatan Goswami, his elder brother, he wrote the heavy one. Rupa called his the light one. Lagu. Very, modest. And it's a description of incarnation. So here's from Lagu Bhagavatamrita. Parashara Muni's prose answer to Maitreya is now summarized in this verse. Hiranyakashipu could not understand that the wonderful form of Lord Nrisimhadeva displayed by Lord Hari was actually Lord Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu was pious. He misused his piety. Piety means kriti, but he misused it, so he was a duskriti. He was sure that Lord Nrisimhadeva was very extraordinary, but because he was overcome with passion, he could not fix his mind on him. Because he was personally killed by the Lord, Hiranyakashipu attained extraordinary and rarely achieved sense gratification and opulence in his next birth as Ravana. It's said any time the Lord kills a devotee, the devotee is two things. They're freed from the reactions of their past misdeeds. And the second is their next life is elevated in different ways. They're benefited materially in some ways. When Krishna kills them, they're liberated, but the other forms of the Lord. So because he could not because he could not recognize Lord Nrisimha as Lord Vishnu, and because he was not filled with hatred for him, Hiranyakashipu was not fixed in meditation on the Lord. If, without meditating on the Lord, he had hated him, he would have gone to hell, as King Vena had gone. Because he was killed by the Lord's own hand, he attained great good fortune. Then he took birth as the third birth, so Hiranyakashipu, Ravana. Next one? Third one. Starts with an S. Shishupal. Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Shishupal. Hiranyaksha, Kumbhakarna, Dantavakra. Those are the three births of Jai Vijay. So, then he took birth of Shishupal, and again he attained great opulence. Because in that birth he chanted all the names of the Goddess of Fortune's husband, Lord Narayan, he could understand that Lord Vishnu had killed him twice. For this reason, out of great hatred, he always chanted the Lord's names and criticized him in many ways. Gazing at the Lord's form, he became convinced that this was Lord Vishnu. Always and everywhere, he remembered the Lord. As he always chanted his names in this way, the great flood of sins born from his hatred of the Lord became burned up. When the Lord threw his chakra at the end, its splendor, the illumination, the brilliance of the chakra, destroyed his demoniac nature and purified his vision. At that moment, he became purified by the blazing light of the Sudarshan chakra. Then he saw that the splendid Supreme Brahman had a human form. Then the chakra destroyed his demon's body and emerged into the Supreme Brahman. Pretty cool. Here's another question. We read that demons killed by Krishna himself, such as the ones killed in Vrindavan, have a higher attainment because they're killed by Krishna and not an ordinary expansion. The other expansions, such as Lord Narayan and others, I recall reading this in Lagu Bhagavatamrita. Well, it's not in Lagu Bhagavatamrita, it's in Krishna Sandarbha. It's one of the six Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami, where he writes, he's commenting on a verse from the very last chapter of Canto 10, is chapter 89, one of the last verses. O Lord, who have appeared with your expansions to protect Dharma, I brought the Brahmana's sons here. So who's that? Who brought the Brahmana's sons to his place? Mahavishnu. So, Krishna's in Dwarka. And there's a Brahmana in Dwarka that right after the birth of each son, the son is born and he just disappears. Doesn't die. Just poof. It's gone. And it happens again, and it happens again, and it happens again. And the Brahmana started saying bad things about Krishna and Ugrasena. What kind of king is he? A Brahmana can't even have the protection of his own child, and child after child after child, and he started speaking like that. What kind of king is Ugrasena? Arjuna visited, and he heard this talk. So he went to the Brahmana and said, my dear Brahmana, you have heard the glories of my bow, Gandiva, and my power of firing arrows. I give you my word. You have another child, and I will protect that child, and if I fail, I'll give up my life. And it happened again. The child was to be born. Arjuna sent arrows in all directions, making this kind of enclosure that nobody could penetrate. The child was born and then disappeared. Arjuna was ready to give up his life. He went to the ocean, built a big fire, was going to burn himself to death. Krishna came along and tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Hey, Arjuna, don't do that. I know where the children are. Let's go get them." "Hey, great, let's go get them." So they got in Krishna's chariot, and they traveled in Krishna's chariot. It's really an amazing description, whether you read it. They went from from Dwarka, on the earthly realm, to the higher planets, through the coverings of the universe. And then the other side of the universe, and they didn't even have sunglasses. It was so bright. They were practically blinded. And they went to the abode of Mahavishnu, because Krishna knew where to go. He had a good GPS system. They went right to the abode of Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu is now speaking to Krishna and Arjuna. He's saying, "O Lord," Mahavishnu speaking, "I, O Lord, who have appeared with your expansions to protect Dharma, I brought the Brahmana's sons here because I wanted to see the two of you." He's the one that penetrated that protective shield of Arjuna's arrows that nobody could penetrate except Vishnu. So he brought the Brahmana's sons to his place because he wanted to see Krishna. And how's he going to see Krishna? So he had Krishna come to him. "As soon as you are finished killing the demons who burden the earth, quickly make them come to me." So the demons killed by Krishna go to Mahavishnu. And commentary reads, this is now Jiva Goswami Krishna Sandarbha, "Repeatedly killing all the demons who are a burden of the earth, you should quickly make them come to me. Having them come here, liberate them." Unquote. It is well known that those killed by Krishna are liberated. Those who are liberated enter the light of Mahavishnu, the Brahma Jyoti. You with me? You got it? Good. Harivamsa says, he quotes the Sanskrit, "Brahma Tejo," Teja means fire or strength, Teja, "Brahma Tejomayam Divyam Mahad Yad Drishtavan Asi." That great spiritual light of Brahman, which you see, is my eternal light. Though Padma, so this is another section. Though Padma Purana says, that Nrisimha, Rama, and Krishna have six qualities of Bhagavan in full, it does not mean that they are equal. It indicates that among all avatars, they are the best. Generally, these three are considered the best of all the avatars. Among them, however, according to the order, they are successively superior. Thus, Krishna is supreme. Maitreya asked, going to the Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavat, in the narrations between Maitreya and Vidura, between Maitreya and Maitreya asked why Hiranyakashipu was not liberated, whereas when he became Shishupal, he was liberated. This is Vishnu Purana. Parasha explained, the greater power of Krishna in comparison with Nrisimha. That's Vishnu Purana. Moreover, demons cannot attain liberation unless they meet Krishna. Other forms of the Lord do not give demons liberation. That is indicated by the word Eva repeated twice in the Bhagavad Gita. Tan aham dvishatam Kruran. I cast those hateful, cruel, and lowest of humans constantly doing evil into repeated birth and death in the wombs of demons. This is Bhagavad Gita chapter 16. Bhagavad Gita chapter 16. Taking birth as demons, birth after birth, these fools not attaining me go to the lowest position, O son of Kunti. In some scriptures, it may be said that those who hate the Lord will attain liberation by the power of thinking of him. But it is never said that all of the haters of the Lord are given liberation by the avatars or by Lord Vishnu, their source. Thus Parashara says, Vishnu Purana, that Krishna alone has additional powers for giving liberation to them. Previously, noting that the cause of liberation is meeting the Lord endowed with great power directly, and remembering the liberation of Putana and others by Krishna, while worrying that Kalanini and others did not get liberation, or being killed by other forms of the Lord. Parashara says that this is the most astonishing nature of Bhagavan known as Krishna. He says at the end, Vishnu Purana, this Krishna, glorified and remembered, bestows the rarest results to both the devatas and demons, even by their connection through hatred. What to speak of giving results to those who are completely devoted? This is Rupa Goswami, Lagu Bhagavatamra. He continues, according to the Bhagavatam, the two brothers had three births, that's Jain Vijay, had three births and should attain liberation from Krishna alone. Nard indicates this, Canto 11, Chapter 5. Inimical translation reads, inimical kings like Shishupal Poundraka and Shalva, while they were lying down, sitting in engaging in other activities, enviously, constantly meditated on the bodily movements of the Lord, his sporting pastimes, his loving glances, being thus always absorbed in Krishna. They achieved positions in the spiritual world. What then can be said of the benedictions offered to those who are constantly fixed their minds on Lord Krishna in the favorable loving mood? Small thing, right? Just fixing your mind on Krishna. Should be pretty easy. But the mind is really restless. It's not so easy. Wants to go here, wants to go there, wants to go there. Another translation. Okay, this is, again, Rupa Goswami writing. They all attain liberation by the great power of Krishna, since he is able to attract the mind of a person who thinks of him somehow or other. Other forms of the Lord do not have this nature. Thus, they do not liberate the demons. Vena, you heard his name? No? Vena? He was Prithu Maharaj's father. Vena, he was a bad guy, really bad guy. So the Brahmins had to kill him, and they churned the body of Vena, and from Vena came Prithu, an incarnation. They knew mantras, they knew how to do it. Vena, though a hater of Vishnu, did not attain liberation since he was not absorbed in the Lord. Therefore, it is said, Tasmat kenapi upayena mana krishne naveshayat. Celebrated verse, mana krishne naveshayat. By some means one should concentrate the mind on Krishna. Thus, it should be concluded that Krishna has the most amazing shakti among all the forms of the Lord. By refuting contrary statements, by making the statements favorable in meaning, the position of Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, is made stronger. In Vedanta Sutra as well, if one sees that a statement in scripture is established by refuting various contradictory statements, one should have faith in this, that this is the same principle applied here. And the last reference. Because Lord Krishna, this is Krishna Sandarbha. We're going back to Jiva Goswami now, Krishna Sandarbha. Because Lord Krishna grants liberation even to the enemies killed by him, he is unique among all the forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed by the following statement, spoken by the personified Vedas. This is chapter 87, personified Vedas chapter, very complicated chapter, canto 10. And Narada Muni repeats it. The personified Vedas say, by practicing the mystic yoga system and by controlling their breath, the great sages conquered the mind and senses. Thus engaged in mystic yoga, they saw the super soul within their hearts and ultimately entered into the impersonal Brahman. However, even the enemies of the Supreme Personality of God had attained that position simply by thinking of the Supreme Lord. So sometimes I've heard the question, you probably have heard it also. What happens to the yogis that do meditation on Supersoul? What's their destination? You've heard that one before? Because we know what happens to gyanis. If they really become like really good at it, they at topmost they can merge into Brahman. And then the devotees, they go to Vaikuntha. Well, what about the yogis that do meditation? And they really do it. They fix their mind and they see the form of the Lord. What happens after their life? Here's the answer. They achieve the same thing the demons achieve. So now I have a quiz question. And there's different answers. There's not only one answer. Who was Prahlad Maharaj before he was Prahlad Maharaj? What was his previous life? Anyone can say? Huh? He was a Brahmana. Okay, yeah, he was a Brahmana in his previous life. Here's in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, the whole story of Prahlad is told. In Chapter 10 of Canto 7, he says to Lord Nrisingadeva, you sent me from the spiritual world to come to this world to teach the way of pure devotional service. That's one answer. However, there's another answer that there's many, many references to from Brihad Nrisingha Purana. There's many references to this one, like 8 or 9 different references that say it's honoring Nrisingha Chaturdasi. So we have in ISKCON, we fast until, at least adults, fast until it's dusk. The sun is setting, and that's when Lord Nrisingadeva appears, and generally we fast on Nrisingha Chaturdasi. So one who observes this fast, there's special benedictions that come, described in Hari Bhakti Vilas and so many other places. And so it describes there that Prahlad in his previous life was a Brahmana. There's a longer version of this, but a short version is he was the son of a very qualified Brahmana. He was the youngest brother of 5, and he became deviated. the other four brothers were really good. And he was really bad, really deviated. And his whole life was involved in bad activities. And one of those bad activities was he was involved with prostitutes. And so he was hanging out with a prostitute one day, and they got in a big argument. And so he got really upset, she got really upset, and he fasted all night long. He observed Nrisimha Chaturthi fast. And she fasted all night long, and she achieved something else. She became an apsara and then went to the spiritual world, and he became Prahlad and then went to the spiritual world. Just from observing Nrisimha Chaturthi. Now, in this Brihan Nrisimha Purana, listen carefully, there's, as I mentioned, there's something like 8 or 9 different scriptures that speak of this. In this particular text, it says, they merged into Brahman. They merged into Brahman. And then again, they took their next birth as Prahlad Maharaj and his wife. And Brihat Bhagavatamrita says, this is evidence that even when there's merging, the soul maintains its individual identity. In his next birth, Prahlad and his wife. Okay, so that's, now we're going back to Agasura. You ready for Agasura's story? Canto 10. That was all just having fun. This is Canto 10, Chapter 12, Text 36. O King, when the python-shaped body of Agasura dried up into merely a big skin, it became a wonderful place for the inhabitants of Vrindavan to visit, and it remained so for a long, long time. It was like a tourist attraction. Because when the cowherd boys, the gopas, when they first saw this big thing there, they thought, maybe this is one of an amusement that Krishna has created for us to have fun. Let's go check it out. Now, later on, the body of this 8-mile-long thing dried up, and it became like a place for people to go visit and, you know, remember Krishna. Vishwanath writes, the dry skin of the snake remained there for a long time and became a cave in which the children used to carry out various pastimes. Jiva Goswami writes, by the power of Krishna's touch, the demon became successful. What more can be said? As in the case of Putana, even his dead body, it was her dead body, became fragrant and most attractive. When they burned the body of Putana, it had, you know, burning dead bodies doesn't smell good. But hers smelled like a fragrant aguru scent, just because Krishna had touched. Shukadeva addresses Parikshit out of great astonishment. And just one more, and we're done for this evening. By the power of Krishna's touch, this is Sanatana Goswami. By the power of Krishna's touch, the demon became successful. What more can be said? As in the case of Putana, even her dead body became fragrant and most attractive. Shukadeva addressed Parikshit out of great astonishment or joy. The skin became suitable for playing, used as an instrument, etc. It stayed there for a long time. It was also a cave used for playing in all sorts of ways. A krida. I'm going to read one other reference. This is Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Sanatan Goswami speaking about this circumstance. Demons who invade Krishna's sacred land of Gokula obtained from Krishna even greater mercy than the kings who opposed him in Mathura and Dwaraka. Kaliya was blessed with the touch of Krishna's limbs more thoroughly than the wrestlers in Kamsa's arena. While Krishna enthusiastically danced on Kaliya's heads, the serpent received Vrindavan dust directly from Krishna's feet, a benefit that even Kaliya's wives praised in ecstasy, saying, "Oh Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya has attained this great opportunity of being touched by the dust from your lotus feet. For this end, the goddess of fortune, who performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and taking austere vows." That's chapter 16 from the Bhagavatam, canto 10. Thus Kaliya received special mercy, for Krishna used each one of Kaliya's heads as a dancing stage. Krishna also accepted worship and prayers from Kaliya, issued him personal orders, and granted him the island of Ramanaka, where he could live free from fear from his arch enemy. Who's the arch enemy? Huh? Garuda. You like that story, huh? I like that story too. Why did Kaliya go to that particular place? Do you know why? Huh?
Yeah, I know, because he did not want to get hit by Garuda.
Yeah, because Garuda was after him.
Mm-hmm. He did not want to get killed.
So why was going to the Jamuna a place where Garuda wouldn't go? How did that happen? Who gave the curse? You don't know? Do you know? Does anybody here know? Huh? Shaubari Muni. You know that story? Yes? No? Shaubari. You've heard his name? You've heard his name. You're just hearing it for the first time. Shaubari Muni was a great sage. He was really good at meditation. He was so good at meditation that he sometimes would meditate underwater. No cheating. You can't breathe when you're underwater, right? Otherwise you've got a problem. So he knew how to do meditation and just suspend his life air. So he was meditating underwater. And Garuda came and captured some fish. So he cursed Garuda. "You don't come here again or you're dead." No, you can't curse Garuda. But he accepted it. So he wouldn't go there because of Shobri Muni's curse. So that's where Kaliya went. Someone told him some spy secrets. There's a story how I'm going to take the offering myself. Garuda found out. And he was not happy with Kaliya. So he went chasing after Kaliya. And Kaliya went here, went there, and got this indication where he could go, where Garuda won't go. To Jamuna Lake. So we went back to Ramanaka, but it's okay because he'll have the marks of Krishna's Sudarshan Chakra from his feet on top of his head, and Garuda will make friends with you. Shanti. Krishna allowed Putana to enter Gokula respectably, appearing among the cowherds dressed as a first-class lady. At the beginning of Shukadev's description of Putana's encounter with Krishna, we are told, "My dear king, wherever people in any position perform their occupational duties of devotional service by hearing and chanting, there cannot be any danger from bad elements. Therefore, there was no need for any anxiety about Gokula while the Supreme Personality of Godhead was personally present. In other words, the witch, Putana, posed no threat to the inhabitants of Gokula. Krishna allowed her simply to enter to give her his mercy. Krishna placed his lotus feet, the object of Lord Brahma's meditation, on Putana's lap. She got the mercy and allowed her to caress him by this. Yashoda and Rohini were greatly astonished. They said, Putana Rakshasi's heart was fierce and cruel, but she looked like a very affectionate mother. Thus, she resembled a sword in a sheath. You know what a sheath is? When you put the sword inside something that keeps the... Then you take the sword out of the sheath and you do your sword business. And then you put the sword back in a sheath. That's what a sheath is. It protects the outside of a sword. That's what a sheath is. So she resembled a sword in a sheath. They couldn't tell her danger because she looked quite nice, very respectable, beautiful, and well ornamented. There's details describing her decoration. She was really decked out. Although seeing her within the room, Yashoda and Rohini, overwhelmed by her beauty, did not stop her, but remained silent because she treated the child like a mother. Now this goes on for some time, and I think I'm going to stop here because we've been going on for over an hour already, hearing about liberation and Krishna's pastimes with the demons. So let's see if there's some discussion. Good number of young people here. So let's see if we'll start with the younger devotees present in the room and see if you have some thoughts or questions or something or other. If not, will anybody in the room would like to ask something, discuss something? Okay.
Guru Maharaj, how does this animosity to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the demons, after Krishna killing them, what happens to that free will choice to be rebellious to the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
I thought about that. I mean, it's their inimical attitude is relieved. It's that inimical attitude is a covering. It's not the nature of the soul. And when the inimical attitude is relieved by contact with the Personality of Godhead, what's left is the nature of the soul. Previously, not all the demons, but those demons that specifically Shalva, Pondraka, Shishupal, they were really focused on Krishna. His form, his activities, his this and that. You know, it wasn't favorable, but their minds were totally fixed. Narada Muni speaks about Shishupal saying in this interesting way, in my opinion, one who is inimical to the Supreme Lord can more easily fix their mind on him than otherwise. And our acharyas say he's just making fun of the inimical attitude. You know, here's what they get this liberation. they don't get bliss, they get neutralization. That's so it's like it's so but anyway. Their free will choice was already made, fixed upon the Supreme Lord. That's a free will choice. But it was in an inimical attitude, and so when they contacted the Lord, he in each of these cases he physically contacts them. Kaliya, Putana, etc., etc. Bakasura, he entered in his mouth. Agasura, he entered in his mouth. His body touched their body. They became purified. Anyway, so that's what happens. There's different situations. It's not always liberation. When Krishna touched the body of the serpent that was swallowing Nanda Maharaj, he got released from the serpent body and he showed his form as a Vidyadhara, and he went back to Vidyadhara Loka, now as a pure devotee. Well, Nalakuvarimani Griva, they became trees. They went back to their abode of the kingdom of Kuvera. Okay, so she has a question. Something?
So, when Krishna is killing all the demons, what does the gopas do? Like, they don't do anything.
They were just like, wow, Krishna's really good. Let's go have lunch. It's just part of their playfulness. I mean, the demigods understood what was going on. And the coward boy just going, wow, that was cool.
They don't think that's that's real.
Yeah. He's really cool. They're not, they're children. They're not scholars or, you know, anything. They're just like really appreciated what Krishna was doing. He saw, because before they went into the cave, into the mouth, they're thinking, well, maybe this, maybe that, but supposing it is a demon, Krishna will take care of him. Let's go. Let's go see what's inside. So they're really playful. That's their mood. And when they saw what they saw afterwards, hey, that was cool. Let's go have lunch. That's what they did. They went and had lunch. And Krishna wanted to him, that was far more meaningful than before the pastime, that is liberating Agasura. Or on the other end, hearing Brahma's prayers. Because that's what happened during lunch. Anyway, but he didn't say a word after Brahma offered these wonderful prayers. He didn't blink. He didn't speak. It was, you know, time for Brahma to go. So Brahma left and he wanted to go back and finish lunch with the cowherd boys. That's his bliss. It's bliss for them and it's bliss for him. So that's how the cowherd boys take stuff like that. It's like, wow, that was really good. Wait till we tell their parents, let's go have lunch. That's their nature. Playful. With Krishna. In the back?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. So, like in our life also, we many times feel like feeling of liberation, like feeling it felt liberating, something of that kind when mind completely settles down with some issue or something. So I was curious to know that what does this liberation mean when we like refer it so many times. Also Srila Prabhupada many times says he was delivered. What is the difference or what is the similarity between these things?
I'm not sure what you're asking. If you're asking what's happening when we feel this, you know, some issues that we're dealing with become settled and we feel liberation. It's the noise level subsides. That's our liberation, that experience.
Liberating experience. Yeah.
But I'm responding by saying it's not what really liberation is. Mm-hmm. It's just the noise volume becomes less.
Okay.
Liberating. And then the noise starts up again. So it's not what real, it's not real, real liberation.
So what is that?
What is it? It's just reduction of the noise of the mind.
No, the real liberation.
What's it like?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on what kind of liberation. There's different kinds of liberation.
So is it like freeing up, freeing?
It's not defined by negation. It's positive. There's a happiness, Brahma Sukh. It's not just reducing. It's Brahma Sukh, and then that's the neutral stage of Brahma Sukh, and then it goes beyond. The happiness of being in one's relationship with Krishna. It's kind of like her question, Krishangi's question. The cowherd boys, their happiness is just being with Krishna. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So Brahma Bhuta stage is different and liberation is different, right?
You're asking the same question. I'll say the same thing but in different language. The material idea of liberation is not what real liberation is. The Brahma Sukha happiness is a positive happiness, but tiny. It's just a drop in an ocean of happiness. It's compared like that directly in the scripture. It's a drop in an ocean. It can't be compared to the ocean. It's just a drop. So the more complete form of liberation than Brahmasukh or Brahma merging, Sayuja Mukti, that liberation is a overwhelming experience of transcendental reciprocation of loving dealings with Krishna.
Just a little bit follow-up, Maharaj, that is okay. So, like when they go to, when they get liberation, but you didn't mention that they are going to Krishna Loka, but they are going to Vaikuntha.
Who's they?
These demons. So they are going to Goloka. They are not going to Goloka.
That's right.
Thank you.
We got a question in the front row here.
Who is Agast?
A little further from your mouth. Just a little bit further from your mouth. Who was who in his previous birth?
Agassar.
Who was Agassar in his previous birth? I'd have to look it up. But if you want to know, I can look it up. Would you like to know? Here we go. This is Narada saying he was Shankarchuda's son. Shankarchuda, the one that had the jewel and tried to take the gopis away when Balaram and Krishna were enjoying Rasa dance with them. Shankarchuda came to take the gopis away. So he had a son, Shankarchuda's son. His name was Agha. That's not a nice name. You know what agha means? Agha means sin. Just like in Ramayana, one of Ravana's brother was named Kara and Dushan. But Kara means donkey. And agha means sin. So Sankachuda called the son Sin. That was his name. He was young, strong, and very handsome. He was like another Kamadev. When Shankachuda's son saw Ashtavakramuni walking near the Malaya hills, Agha laughed and said, "Who is this ugly person?" Ashtavakra is a sage. His Ashta means eight. His body was bent, deformed, in eight places. So he walked really, you know, clumsy. But he was a great, powerful sage. And the son of Shankachuda was laughing at him. He was beautiful, you know, glamorous. And he saw Ashtavakra walking by and spoke something, you know, very insulting. "Who is this ugly person?" So Ashtavakra cursed him. He laughed and said, "Who is this ugly person?" When the sage cursed Agha, "Oh, wicked-hearted one, you will become a snake. You will be the ugliest snake in the circle of the earth." Seeing that the demon, his pride and arrogance now gone, had fallen at his feet, the sage became pleased with him and gave him a benediction. Ashtavakra said, "Sri Krishna, who is more handsome than many millions of cupids, will enter your stomach. Then you'll be freed from having a snake's form." By Ashtavakra's curse, Agasura became a snake, and by Ashtavakra's blessing, Agasura attained liberation. Even the demigods cannot attain. Anyone else? I'm looking at you because you usually have questions. Nothing. Okay, great. Yes, in the back row. We have some online questions, right? One, okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This question is with two background. One is that, you know, we said that all the devotees of the Supreme Lord in Gokula are, you know, they didn't know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still they had a tremendous amount of respect for him, and they just played with him like he was a friend. They did not know that his Supreme Personality of Godhead.
That's the boys, yeah.
The boys, yeah. We similarly see in Bhagavad Gita 2.7, the point where actually Arjuna is surrendering to Krishna. My understanding is that at that point, he does not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Well, yes and no. And the yes is obvious, and the no is he's Krishna's eternal associate. So by Krishna's arrangement, Krishna can have somebody remember or somebody forget. That's chapter 15, Bhagavad Gita. By Krishna's arrangement situated within the heart, remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness can come. So he knows on a deeper level, but for pastime purposes, he's not remembering.
So with that, the question becomes that it seems that the devotees, like the real, I mean, the greatest devotees of Krishna actually do not know or consider him the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Well, the residents of Vrindavan are the greatest of the devotees, and they definitely have that description. They fit that description. They don't love him because...
Right, right. And so the question was that how can we... like, personally, I know that I'm worshipping Krishna because he's Supreme Personality
and you
of
should,
Godhead.
And you should.
Yeah. And so how to get that...
How to get that? When you become so packed up, Krishna may make the arrangement for you. And until then, you get packed up. There's the sweetness and there's the Aishwarya. And we are to recognize both. When we become absorbed in Krishna, he may discover the Aishwarya feature if he so desires, like he has done with the residents of Vrindavan. They don't see because they're covered with sweetness. So it's up to Krishna. You wait for that.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you so much for the lecture. I have one question. In today's Vrindavan, where exactly this pastime took place, the Agasur pastime? Is there a, like you mentioned, there's a cave and there's a, you know, like tourist place, and so is there any place like that now?
No. No, the body of Agasura isn't still over there in Vrindavan. But I'd have to go back and look at the beginning part of the chapter, because there are many places where in the beginning part of the chapter it does mention where. But I don't remember. But it's not like you can go see the fossilized body of Agasura.
Like, is there are many other places, like, you know, where the Damodarila took place.
Yeah, obviously.
That, you know, that thing is not their tray, but they have the memories over there, right? So that's
yes,
what I was...
Yes, yes, yes. There are places. I just don't know where. I'm sure there's a place.
Sure.
And you can go and say, this is the place, you know, we can, from the name of the names of the villages, that's one of the ways that the Goswamis were... given the task of identifying where Krishna's places of pastimes occurred. There are village names that are identify, you know, with some corruption over time, and this is the place. It wouldn't be too difficult to find out where Agasura was killed. Wouldn't be too difficult, you know, from our acharyas and from those kinds of things. They give descriptions.
Usually when we do the parikrama, we never came across Agasura's killing place. So that's what
it is. Okay, the online question. Read it slowly.
Yes, ma'am. So is this is from Akhiladhara Prabhu. In Agasur, Agasur got Sharupya, same form as the Lord in Vaikuntha.
Yes.
So in such cases, they are having Sharupya and Salokya together.
Yes.
And from Sanchari Mataji, I have heard that by attaining pure devotional service, you can save several generations of family members.
Yes.
What is the definition of saved here? Does this mean that they still take birth, but in a position to take advantage of the piety they received?
Yes.
Or
yes. They'll have the opportunity to engage in devotional service. That's... because devotional service is from the platform of liberation. So that's the answer to that question.
That is also a follow-up.
Okay. Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai.